It's time for the one show that takes you where others won't. With a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Well, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. It's me again, your host, Doug Gefeller. Hey, if you're listening to this show live, then you're on octalkradio.net, and I didn't even need to tell you that. But if you're not listening to it live, then you're listening to our podcast, and I want to thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com, or our Podbeam site. Hey, while you're there, be sure to check out the archives for some other great shows that you may have missed that we've recorded for you and stored on our site so that you can go back and listen to them or re-listen to them in case you're already caught them. Well, our guest for today is Rita Conley of HR Alternatives. And Rita is a senior consultant there with 20 years experience as a human resource professional. She has always taken a consultative approach, both as an employee of an organization and as a consultant. She has proven experience in human resource development, strategic planning and execution, performance management, risk management, and leveraging human capital. Rita says, I'm a relationship builder with a strong drive for results and able to provide effective solutions for my clients. My skills are scalable from working with small organizations of less than 20 people to Fortune 500 companies. Her specialties include a long list here, but it's worth sharing with you because it's very impressive. Executive coaching, career development, succession management, employee relations, training, facilitation, change management, conflict management, process efficiency, innovation, creativity, team building, and developing people. And if she left something out, I don't know what it is. But, hey, we are really privileged to have Rita with us today. Rita, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doug. I am honored to be here.
Oh, it's our honor. Little feedback right there. Okay, we're all right. Rita, let's get started. We've been wanting to get you on this show, and it's been one thing after another that's kept us from having you here, and we're really looking forward to it today.
Thank you. That makes two of us.
Well, let me just tell the audience as we get started here that Rita is going to be a regular guest on our show once a month with a segment that we're going to call Rita's Review. If you have a better name for it, let us know. But that's what that's the working title, as they say in the biz. Rita's Review, and she's going to tell us or share with you, our audience, her notes from that month's ICF Orange County chapter meeting and what went on, what the speakers had to say, and what gems of wisdom. You know, this is one of those stories I just have to share with you. I was sitting in a board meeting for the ICF Orange County, and someone says sort of offline to Rita, oh, would you send me those notes? And I said, what notes? Well, it turns out that for years, Rita has been taking notes at every single monthly meeting of what the speakers had to say and then sharing them with a handful of people who were interested in them. And I thought, why are we keeping this great talent a secret? So I've asked Rita if she would appear on the Coaching Perspective show monthly and share them with you, our audience. So, hey, I'm excited. Rita, thank you for agreeing to going from hiding in the corner with handwritten notes to coming on that scary radio show.
Anytime, Doug.
Okay. Well, look, let's find out a little bit about you first before we do the review of this month's show. Tell the audience a little bit about your path to your current business. What attracted you to HR? What training and certificates do you have? And what was your experience prior to HR Alternatives?
Yes, I will take you through my journey, which is never-ending. But in the past, at the very beginning, I've always had a service orientation. I was always that person that would derive great pleasure from helping people. And so when I graduated from Long Beach State, I then became a temporary employee and then realized that I wanted to be on the other side of the desk. I wanted to be the individual that would interview people. And so I quickly leaped over, and I became a manager that was now in charge of a contingent workforce, and I learned a lot in the staffing world. And from there, I sort of began with the end in mind, if you will. And so I thought, you know what? When I grow up, I want to be a consultant. And in order to be a consultant, I have to have experience in X amount of different industries. And so that's where I started. I learned all of the differences that organizations have by working in staffing, and you know, high sense of urgency there, of course. And then after a stint with staffing, I then went into a small organization with a union environment. From there, I learned all about labor unions and the dynamics of that environment. I then transitioned into a large organization called Nissan, had a fantastic corporate experience, learned quite a bit, got very, very comfortable with having necessary conversations with executives. I felt very, very good about that. And then I leaped away from there into a privately held organization, which was a subsidiary of H&R Block. And I spent quite a bit of time, and I did a lot of awesome projects and works and built relationships very quickly with people who had no respect, or shall I say no, limited respect of human resources. And so during that experience, I then went back to school and received my master's in business along with my senior professional designation in human resources. So I was able to then take in the business pieces and also continue to work. And I went from there to other organizations that were Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies. And then after about 20 years, I then realized, you know what, the whole begin with the end in mind, well, it's time to do that. And so I took all of my experiences and I began my consulting. And I was party of one, and then I recently joined my firm of HR Alternative, so I was able to actually be in the company of some amazing human resource professionals that share the same passion that I do in supporting clients and helping them be successful with their organizations. And it's very cool, Doug, to be with a group of people that are they're just awesome and bright, and you know, this is what we do. We are HR professionals, and we care about our clients, and we always keep that in mind. So it's nice to kind of see how my journey has led me to my ultimate goal, if you will, which is to be a consultant. And here I am. I'm a consultant.
Well, you know, I'm struggling, Rita, with the fact that either that is the most well-planned career transition I've ever heard of, or you just can't hold a job. Now, which is it?
I love it, Doug.
I should tell the audience that I do know Rita, and I make it a habit to give her a bad time, so don't feel like I'm being particularly rude. She's used to me being particularly rude. Well, you know, that is amazing, and I'm really, truly very envious of that journey that you just described, because so many of us have evolved into what we are through happenstance rather than through deliberately setting out to go down a path and become who we are today. And that must give you a great deal of satisfaction to have achieved that.
Yes, it does. And it's just kind of interesting when you set out initially and you just kind of think, and just so you understand, I'm very future-focused, which is kind of a weakness, if you will, because it sort of keeps you away from the current state. So what I've been doing through my journey is actually practicing presence, being more present and being more current and sort of limiting that future. But in the past, I was very future-focused, and I'm a very big person with planning. And so then that's how I built my plan. I thought, well, gosh, if I'm going to be speaking to a client that is manufacturing, it would probably be good for me to know a little more about manufacturing. If I'm going to be working with a client that is, you know, used to a very fast-paced environment, well, then it behooves me to work with people that are in a fast-paced environment, you know, and so on and so forth, until you get to a point where it's like, all right, now it's time to take the leap and execute, if you will. And it's a little scary at first because it's like, all right, you've worked this all, you've exercised, you've gotten your degrees, your certifications, and now you have to do it. And I think once you finally take the plunge, you can say, all right, now I can check that off my box. and then you kind of say, well, gee, what's next? But the beauty of this is that you can set the intention of becoming something as long as you put the work and, you know, the muscle and all of that behind it. And then you end up doing what you initially set out to do. And then, of course, you ask yourself what's next. But for right now, Doug, I am practicing current state. I'm enjoying my experience, you know, working with clients, different types of clients, different organizations, partnering very quickly, using my high sense of urgency and helping them resolve whatever pressing matter may come in their direction. Now I can use all of that experience that I've gained and apply it.
And I hear some very strong coaching language behind your discussion of HR there. And I have to say, I think you are the first person I've ever met who is so future-focused that they have to work on being present-focused. I tend to run into the opposite more often. That's amazing, and it's amazing for you to have recognized that and to grab hold of how do I become more powerful without losing what I am but yet adapting to a new mode to work with current clients.
And it's a shift, Doug. I also received my coaching certification from Linkage, and I actually started being an internal coach with one of my organizations where they didn't have that in place, but I was so passionate about pulling the magic that is within an individual and realizing they know the answers. They may not realize it, but I'm going to work in partnership. And you can imagine how that transforms the whole experience with that partner, to know that I'm not, you know, I'm here to help you, and I'm going to use this additional level of expertise to make this an even better experience. And so it was a very cool experience for me to be an HR individual, but also have that additional coaching element to my repertoire, if you will, and the internal clients and, you know, external clients, if you will, they'd never experienced that before. They were sort of used to HR being, a certain way. And as I met with them and had this relationship, they just didn't know what hit them. And they didn't feel like they were being judged or like I knew everything. And they were, you know, they didn't feel like they were less than. They felt very good and walked away as though this is something different. So it was very cool to sort of change that HR perception, if you will, by using that coaching element to tie it all together and take HR to sort of that, you know, next evolution, if you will, that, you know, we're here to support and to help. You know, we're not here to hurt anybody. We're in this together.
And you know, you're preaching to the choir here, because I firmly believe that coaching blended is in fact the management style of the future. And that to work with the employees that we have in the workforce today, managers must learn to adopt more of a coaching style rather than a command and control style of management. And that's exactly what you've done with HR, and that is wonderful. Well, look, tell me a little bit about what does HR Alternatives do? You've kind of touched on it, but give us a lowdown.
Yes. First of all, I will share that the company is almost 20 years. I think we're like 19.95 at this point in the business, and that we've helped, you know, hundreds, thousands of organizations, small to medium sized, and we are their support service. So we are able to help the owner of the organization. You know, typically our group is between 20 and 200 as far as the employee base. And that could be a franchise in any industry. The industry is not even relevant. So we provide that consultative support with our you know, I mean, I'm 20 years. There's people within the firm that have more experience than that. So we provide that level of expertise that the client is able to then use, and we help them elevate their operation so that they can get, you know, have an effective experience as far as managing their workplace. They feel good when they call us that we are going to get, you ask, find out what exactly is going on, and then give them the correct answer. We're not going to make anything up. You know, we have been there, we've done that, and if we don't know the answer, we use our resources to get them the right answer because, you know, our reputation is on the line. So that's what HR Alternatives does. We provide the support services to our clients. We do affirmative action plans. We work on, you know, making sure the compliance is in place. We have recruitment. We do training, selection. We have any type of human capital type of situation, Doug. We have the expertise, and so we are able to help. And that's really why we're here. We're here to help our clients be successful. And we have clients that have been with us for, I'm going to say, probably more than a decade, Doug, which is proof in the pudding that we know how to build the relationship and we keep our clients satisfied. And we educate them, you know, and we do it in a very professional manner. So they want to keep us as far as their support service.
So, Rita, are you a... I'm going to ask the question, even though I think I might know the answer. Do people outsource the HR function to you completely, or are you a support for an in-house HR function?
You know what, Doug? That is an excellent question. We provide support, so I'll give you an example. We will work with an HR manager, for example, and we will offer additional consulting support. So if you have an HR manager in place, and let's say this person has a certain level of capability, we provide additional capability. So we work in partnership with the HR manager. Or, in another example, you are the controller, and your organization is maybe, you know, 30 people, so you don't have an HR person. We then work with the controller or the CEO or the whoever that is, that point person, and we help to provide the infrastructure for your people. So we'll put together all of the pieces that are necessary for your organization, and we provide you with that consultative advice for any sort of people-related matters. And with all the legislation that California is always under, the controller or the COO doesn't have time to go find out if, you know, this leave or this law is applicable to them. So they call us and say, hi, I have this issue. I've just found out that, you know, we have some salespeople and commission plans. I'm hearing something about commission plans. And we say, yes, as of, you know, 2013, every commission employee has to have a commission plan. So rather than that COO trying to figure out where am I going to find this, they call us.
So, in effect, you provide either-or service. You could provide both. You could be a total outsourced HR function, or you could be a support to an existing in-house HR capability.
Yes, we supplement that so we can do what our client is in need of, Doug. And the cool thing about this is that companies grow. And so, first we start out supporting, you know, helping that COO, CEO, CFO, and then they start to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they may need to hire an actual, you know, HR person. And we can still be that support for them, because then we can work with that HR individual and help them with those issues that they haven't experienced before.
Okay.
And so the company is always moving forward, and so that's how we work in partnership.
Wonderful. Great. I'm glad to understand that. Now, let me ask you a question that we ask all of our guests, and I think I mentioned this to you ahead of time. What experience or key lesson have you learned that really is sort of your guiding principle in business today? Can you share how it came about or what that is for you?
My key lesson, boy, that's a really good question, Doug. I would say that honesty and this is how I've learned this. I have met many professionals in my field that may not know the answer to something, and so they make it up, all right? And the unfortunate part about making up an answer is that you're giving the person the wrong information. So I learned that early on. I thought, well, gosh, I know it's embarrassing to say I don't know, but I would not want to tell somebody the wrong information. So my guiding principle is always, if I don't know, I'm going to tell you. You know what? I don't have that information at this point, but I will find it out and provide that to you. And then they walk away knowing that I am being honest and sincere with them, and I'm going to find the information. And guess what? I'm going to find it, and then I'm going to come back to you. But you're not going to get the wrong information. And I think that's where so many people can damage their reputation, because they speak very well, and so when they're answering the question, it's not accurate information. And all it does is it damages your reputation. And when you're in the profession of HR, reputation is tremendous. So you always want to be known as the person that either has the answers or can get the answers very quickly. And always, you know, that's my charter. I always stick to that.
And you know what? I love that definition of honesty. So often people think honesty means I'm telling a lie or I'm telling the truth. And what you've added is really another dimension, which we are all guilty of, and that is answering questions we aren't really sure that we have the right information, but with good intentions, but in a way that is dishonest. And I love the way you've adopted that into your honesty charter there. So wonderful. Great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so Rita's review. How about giving us a review of the January ICF Orange County chapter meeting?
All right. Well, I can say that this was an awesome presentation by yourself, Doug. No plug, but just being honest. And it was enjoyable from the fact that the topic of the meeting was, you know, how to create a business plan. But that's not what we talked about. We talked about creating a strategic plan. And it was really, I call this a deep session, because although it has a simple title like creating a strategic plan, really the crux of it was to get real with yourself and get really clear on where you're going. And the beauty of this was 55 minutes. The focus was on spend 55 minutes answering these questions. So this wasn't a long and drawn-out process. This was like, all right, let me get real with myself. Let me go through these questions that have been provided, and let me dig deep. But only 55 minutes worth of deepness. And so then you have to, you know, answer these questions and be honest with yourself. And the wonderful part about that is that if you got stuck, per my notes, you just keep going. So you're not staying in any area where you're thinking, oh, my gosh, how do I answer that? You're not plagued by that. You have to keep moving because, again, 55 minutes to get this thing completed. So that's one powerful gem. And then once you create it, then you have to carry it around with you, and you got to show people. So it was like a nice checkpoint. Not only do I have this awesome plan that I put together, but now I got to show somebody. So it was really, it's kind of almost like putting yourself in a position of vulnerability, but the whole goal here is that the plan gets crisper, it gets clear, it gets poked, so you're asking other people for their review of your plan, and there are things that we can't think of. You know, we have one brain, so that's why we enlist the support of our friends to review things to help us, because then you've got 5, 6, 7 brains, and some people have more of an intellectual capacity. Some people have more creative capacity. Some people are visionary. So if you have 3 different brains like that, you get all kinds of input, and then they poke your plan and they say, hey, Rita, did you consider this? Or what about that? Or is that really true? And so you have to dig down and say, wait a minute. No, I don't want to do that. Let me change my plan. And the beauty of this plan is that you can keep changing it. And for me, it was a revelation. I always think of a plan, I don't think about tweaking it too much, but through the presentation, it's your plan. You can change it as much as you want to, or not, and you have the power to do that, which was really freeing. And also, you have the power to change that plan. Let's say if you said, you know what, I'm going to set this out in 6 months, this is going to happen. Well, you know what, if a year passes by and it didn't happen, it's okay. You can change that. It's not the end of the world. And you just continue to change this plan. It sort of helps you to keep your focus. And again, carrying it around so it keeps you present, it keeps you current, and things change in people's lives. So maybe what you initially put the plan together, hey, doesn't make sense anymore. And again, it's okay. It's your plan. You know, you own this. You can do whatever you want. And what I loved about, this is one line that you actually shared, Doug, that I loved. It doesn't always work out the way you thought it would. Sometimes it's better. And that's the hard part for myself, right? It didn't go according to the plan. Well, you know what? Who cares? Plan's going to change. Things change. It's all right. I'm still here. I can still create something different. It's okay. It's not the end. The other pieces I got were identify what you enjoy. What problem are you trying to solve? What are you the expert at? So if I'm creating my plan, I'm trying to create my business, what am I good at? What would people pay me to solve? What is it that I can bring forth that they can't get and they have to have? So creating the plan on that and selling the solution and being creative about it while you're speaking with your clients, ask them, why do I stand out for you? And then use that. Maybe put that in your plan as far as your marketing. And there was a couple of books that were recommended, the Purple Cow book, and there was another book, Robert Bloom's book. Those were two that stuck out. Another important part, look at how many hours you are working. How satisfied are you? And the whole point of this is to be happy with the result of your strategic plan. So if you're not happy about it, again, you can change it. You don't have to stay on that track. You can create something different. Oh, at the end of this year, let's say you've created your plan, you've poked it, and you've showed people that you got feedback, then you want to list three things you want to stay doing. What do you enjoy? What worked? You also want to list three things you want to, you know, start doing. What should I have, you know, I want to start this new year doing X, Y, because I think it's going to work. And then you want to list three things you want to stop doing. You know, this exhausted me, or this is not making any money, or, you know, I'm pained by this, so stop doing it. Again, you initially give yourself that 55 minutes, and you just go. And then once you're stopped with that, then you put your plan away. You can come back to it. You can show your friends. You can poke holes. You can take a, you know, take a deep dive into what you're actually trying to create. Again, it's your plan. And I think that was the most refreshing part, to know that you can create something, but if it's not working for you, you can change it. And it's okay. You don't have to, you know, kill yourself because you were disappointed. It's like, you know what? Things change. So what? Get over yourself and create a different aspect to your plan and be happier. Let's see what else I can share, Doug. it was funny because you think, oh, creating a strategic plan, and then you go really deep with yourself. And so you're like, wow, I need to uncover this, or I need to work on that. So this plan is not just a simple experience. It's kind of, if you really take it to heart, it's digging into your soul and extracting what's really going to make me happy, what's going to work for me, what's going to take time, and, you know, what does that mean? And then asking your friends and your executive advisors, take a look. What do you think? And being vulnerable and expecting, you know, some feedback and knowing, again, this is for your own good. This is for you as an individual. And it's your plan, and you own it. It'll help you get back on course and make those changes and feel much better about the whole experience.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
For those in our audience that weren't at the meeting, what would you say, was this meeting of value only if I am currently an active coach? I mean, who would have benefited from attending this meeting?
Great question, Doug. I would say anyone anyone could have benefit, because this is, you know, strategic plan. You could insert anything in here regarding my coaching business, regarding my agricultural business, regarding my career path, regarding my retail establishment. Anybody. This was for anybody, which was the best part about this plan, because I actually sent out some of these questions to people that I know that are not coaches. And they thought, oh, wow, this is fantastic. Just answer one question. A question like, how are you going to deliver it? Who are you going to work with? That's not coaching specific. That's anybody specific. Anyone could have benefited with this presentation, which was the coolest part about it, Doug. It was really anyone can use this in their personal or their professional life and get something out of it. Extract what they need to, that, you know, what's going on in their head and their heart, and put it on paper and actually see it and go, oh, I just got clear on where I'm going.
Well, look, while we're talking about the Orange County chapter of the ICF and their meeting, let me just interject an announcement here, Rita, that the February meeting is not going to be on the 14th, the second Thursday of the month. Instead, it's because that's Valentine's Day. It's going to be on the 13th, and the topic is going to be how to build a lucrative and lifestyle-friendly coaching business with Ted McGrath. And Ted talks about the fact that most coaches are trading their time for dollars. They're chained to a desk with a phone attached to their ear, and they're not getting paid what they're worth. And he says the time has come to change this and build a lucrative, lifestyle-friendly business where you make money even while you're on vacation. Hey, does that sound appealing? Well, as Rita just said, I think one of the things that we would like to share with our audience here is that while these meetings are the Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation, many, or I would say almost all of the topics that are presented have value to anyone who is a service provider or running a small, medium-sized business. So you're welcome to come as a guest, even if you aren't a coach. If you're thinking of becoming a coach, you may get even more value out of it. But not being a coach wouldn't preclude getting value out of these meetings. And Ted's conversation with us on February 13th, how to build a lucrative, lifestyle, friendly, and interject whatever your business is, blank kind of business, would certainly appeal to all of us. So just wanted to make you aware of that. If you want more information on the meeting, you can go to coachesfororangecounty.com. Rita, thank you for the review.
Thank you, Doug.
And you're going to be with us, next month on the... Whenever our radio show is. I don't have the calendar in front of me. That's horrible. To give us a review of Ted's.
You got it, Doug. I will be on again to share with our listeners the gems from the meeting, and hopefully they can find some information that they can then use for their own businesses.
Well, look, before we let you go, I still want to pick your brain on some other issues here. What do you see as the big challenge that's facing your business or your clients' businesses in the HR field these days?
Well, there are multiple challenges, Doug. Simply operating in the state of California has its magic, if you will, and it's just understanding what is required and what is not required. And I'll just give you, one of the biggest examples would be the whole healthcare. And what does that mean? And what's going to happen? And it's really healthcare, as we know, is still under construction. We may or may not know, but this all becomes effective in 2014. So companies are putting in their respective plans or making their changes as we speak. And then in 2014, that's when we have to actually deal with the law and how it's going to affect all of us. So that is one component. There are other parts of the National Labor Relations Act and all of their influence. And I will just give you an example. Social media is kind of a hot topic. You have in the past organizations that would have chastised an employee for making disparaging comments about a company. Well, now, you can't do that. Or shall I say, if you do that, you face repercussions. So now, if an employee were to make disparaging comments about an organization, or let's say a manager, the manager could then, you know, try to seek some type of legal action against that employee. But the company cannot chastise that employee. So it's very interesting how that's shifted. And you know, that wasn't the case before, but social media is, you know, sort of a work in progress, if you will. Companies that have social media policies really need to take a look at what's in their policy, and are they being punitive to the employee, or are they taking more of a general parameter approach? So, you know, HR alternatives, we understand the regulations and what is supposed to be said. We then work with our clients and say, you know what, let's take a look at what you have. Let's make some adjustments so that you don't get into trouble, so that you are in compliance with what the regulatory world is expecting. And once we take a look at what they have, we modify the language, then they know now they're in safe ground. But you know, just two examples of that, or like what I mentioned earlier, the commission plans. You need to have those commission plans in place for any type of salespeople you have. It used to be you know, verbal, this is how it works, or it was kind of a loosey-goosey. Now, if you have a commission employee, every time you change that commission plan, you have to provide a new commission plan. It has to be signed. So if your company has commission employees and changes a commission plan four times in the year, then guess what? You're going to have four signatures on four different plans. But that means now you're in compliance. So things like that where, because we are in the country of California, things that are very employee-friendly, you have regulations that are looking at, is this too stringent? And if it is, California is probably going to be the first test of that and probably going to enact something that will then make it more employee-friendly. And so, you know, our firm, HR Alternatives, has to stay up with all this and make sure that our clients are educated and are doing the right thing and don't get themselves caught in any sort of unnecessary legal action.
So it sounds, Rita, like if I take a look at my employee manual that I produced last year or maybe many years ago, the odds are that significant portions of it need to be updated and revised to come into compliance with 2013.
Yes. Yes. Well put, Doug. Employee manuals. I've seen some manuals that have language that might have been, you know, 10 or 15 years old that worked at the time, but now you have changes that include things like, I'm going to use the word, breastfeeding as a protection, where it used to be sex, gender, national origin, now breastfeeding is also included, and that's new. And so if you don't have that within your policy needs to be updated, and that's what we do. We make sure that the language is correct and current, and then we then provide our clients with the updated information.
Okay. All right. So this is as you started out in this conversation, this is one of the many benefits of working in California and doing business, is you get to revise everything every year to make sure you're in legal compliance.
Yes, and it's you know what, the beauty of working in this state is that it is never a dull experience. You always have to keep on your toes. So the lesson is never completed. You're always learning. And then clearly in our field of consulting, you're always applying it, and you always want to make sure that you are applying that amended lesson, if you will, because that lesson applied 5 years ago, and now everything's changed, so now you have to do it this way, which is the beauty of human resources. You know, it's constantly changing, and you always have to, you have to stay abreast. You've got to go, you know, take your webinars and show up to seminars and just keep learning.
Okay, so we'll stay abreast of this and make sure that that's covered in our employee manual also. Well, I don't know how you maintain such a positive attitude, but I'll tell you, I love it, Rita. That's one of the things I really enjoy about working with you, is you are positive in the face of almost anything that goes on. Well, look, just to kind of wrap this up, any comments? You've worked as an internal coach and as an external coach.
Yes.
Any comments on on the use of internal or external coaches, or what practices you've observed that maybe should be followed or not followed?
I would say, Doug, both internally and externally, companies that offer that are wonderful establishments, because whether you do it in-house or out-house, as long as you do it, you're doing the right thing for your employees. I would say that confidentiality is key. When you're having that experience with your client, either internal or external, make sure that you actually draw up an agreement of expectations, which basically means the coach, whether internal or external, is not sharing the information with the world. That if the client, internal or external, chooses to share the information of that session, that's fine. That's up to them. But as a coach, you have a professional, how would I say this? Well, the way that you operate, confidentiality is everything. So if you are not keeping the confidentiality of that experience, you are not coaching. You're doing something else.
Well, look, Rita, as we wrap this up, is there anything else about you or your firm that we haven't talked about, or something I talked over you on that you want to share with our audience here today?
Well, I would say for organizations that are in need of HR consultation, in need of support services, that they can find us, HR Alternatives, on the web. We are simply HRAlternatives.com, and they can contact us via email. Our phone information is on the website, and you know, we are here to help companies that need HR consultation, that any organization that has human capital issues. I know there's not many out there, right? But if there were human capital issues that companies need help with, give us a call. That's what we do. That's why we have these experts in this firm with, you know, degrees, certifications, and we're nice. We're nice people.
Rita, thank you very much for being with us today, and I'm really looking forward to you being on our program on a regular basis with your review of the monthly ICF Orange County chapter meetings. So thank you, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective long list of wonderful, entertaining, inspiring guests.
Thank you, Doug.
Great. Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, look, before we sign off there, let me just remind you, if you tuned in late or you tuned in early for the next show, whatever it may be, you can catch today's broadcast. We will have it up on the website early next week, Monday or Tuesday, depending on how the weekend goes. But we'll have it up on the website, and you'll be able to listen to our great interview with Rita and listen to Rita's review of the January ICF Orange County chapter meeting. Let me just also remind you that we here at the Coaching Perspective have been coaching executive and business owners for 19 years, helping to create more effective teams. That's our primary focus, and we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. And in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual team members. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills, and communication workshops. So that's what we do here, in addition to the radio show, which is the most fun thing that we do, right here on OCTalkRadio.net, Orange County's only foremost radio talk show. So to be sure to tune in again, we're on the air live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Look for our weekly newsletters on Wednesday. If you're not getting them, go to the website, grab my email address, and drop me a line so that I'm sure to add you to our list. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals. Good evening.
You've been listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.